Welcome back, everybody, to Entertain Matt. I am your host, Magnificent Matt. Oh, man, oh, man. Episode 10. What a landmark, ladies and gentlemen. A giant landmark today. Celebrating 10 episodes, not 10 years, but 10 episodes of the podcast of Entertain Matt with your host, Magnificent Matt. Trying to get some artwork for the show, and it's kind of difficult doing the artwork considering it's, Photoshop wants you to pay about $100 a month in order to use it, which is kind of strange because it's a computer thing. I own the computer. I spent a crap load of money on the computer. Why should I just not get it for free? Well, I got it 1 month for free, so whoopee-doo. Well, it's not about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the fact that we have 10 years of amazing podcast, or, well, 10 years of amazing podcasts in the future to look forward to. You get to listen to my voice for the next 10, 20, or even 100 years if I live that long. And if I'm 120 doing a podcast, it's going to be pretty amazing. I mean, they probably won't even have podcasts by then. They'll probably have, like, robots just doing everything, or I mean, I know the next generation, you know, they'd have the touch phones. I think the next generation will be people just having the hologram thing. I think the hologram thing is going to be the future. They're already trying to work on. They got, you see these commercials where they have these little watches with people doing, like, their phone stuff on there or whatever, checking the weather and all that bull crap. I don't know why people care about the weather so much. I mean, I know I talk about it a lot here, but, I mean, you know, I just say it's either hot or it's maybe, by some miracle, actually kind of cold here in Texas. But here in deep down Texas, it is still very, very hot since it is only the beginning of September. I got a birthday coming up here before long. Well, I wish myself a happy birthday. And to all the true lovers out there who are close to their birthdays or who have birthdays really far off. Birthdays are a good thing to celebrate. Birthdays are grand. They're great. You know, it's not about getting presents on your birthday. It's about celebrating another year of life that was given to you. You know, whatever you believe in, I believe God gave me another year of life to live, and I believe I need to live it to the fullest. Which is why I do this show, pretty much, because this is what I like to do. I enjoy talking, not necessarily to a microphone. I will have guests on here, not really just to talk about birthdays, but I do plan to have guests on this show to discuss life, of course. I got a cousin who's a movie producer who's supposed to come on this show here probably around Christmas time. I got some friends of mine trying to do the show. And I got some good guests coming up here in the near future, hopefully. We'll see how that goes, but for right now, we're just going to stay in the present. Right now, we're not going to look to the past, and we will hope good for the future, but we will look right now into the present. So, this is episode number 10, 10th anniversary, and not in years, but I guess 10 episode anniversary. I'm going to go back to my roots. I'm going to talk about the beginning, what I used to talk about in the beginning, what this podcast is based around, what this podcast is meant for, professional wrestling. And that is what I'm going to be talking about today, and one of my favorite subjects, my favorite faction of all time, The Shield. I'm going to be talking about the collaboration and the combination of Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. Three future Hall of Famers, and three big-time superstars. Three of the most interesting characters that we have seen come around in probably the last 5 or 6 years. If not the last 10 years. Along with Bray Wyatt, of course. I mean, Bray Wyatt is an interesting character. He could be the next Undertaker if he plays his cards right. Maybe he won't have the status of the Undertaker, but he may have close to a career like him if he plays his cards right, and if the company still has faith in him and still continues to push him. I did want to discuss, before I get into The Shield, and I will possibly review a couple of movies depending on how much time we have. I'll try to squeeze it in there before long, but mostly today's episode is going to be about professional wrestling. We're going to be talking about The Shield. I did want to discuss what was the worst Monday Night Raw of the year by far. a lot of people say that the Monday Night Raw during the Emmy show was thought of as the worst Monday Night Raw. I did not watch all of that. I think the only reason that that Monday Night Raw was bad was because of the Wyatt family getting destroyed by Cena in pretty much a jobber match. But other than that, I didn't feel like the show really lacked anything from what little I saw while watching Breaking Bad sweep the Emmys. I did, however, have quite a few big problems with this Monday Night Raw last week. We have Monday Night Raw coming up tonight. It should be a good show. We got Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt in a cage match, kind of the rubber match between the two. Jericho has a win, which in the long run I have found to agree with, considering that Jericho doesn't need to just come in and job all the time. If he jobs all the time, then it won't mean anything when he does get pinned. Even though the rivalry didn't click with a whole lot of people, I still enjoyed it. I just felt like it could have been so much more if they would have given proper TV time and maybe even proper direction. I just don't think it was the right direction to go in. But Jericho versus Bray Wyatt in a steel cage, and then we got the rematch from SummerSlam, Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton again. Hopefully they'll have more of a kind of match like their match at SummerSlam, the second half of their SummerSlam match, because the first half was a little bit slow, even though I did enjoy it because it was Randy Orton pretty much dominating, taking his time, and then, of course, they did back and forth there at the end with Roman Reigns picking up the victory, in case you already didn't know that past SummerSlam. But yeah, a lot of things going down tonight. Jerry Springer is supposed to show up for the Bella Twins thing. Apparently we're going to get that shoved down our throat. And I feel that was the number one problem with last week's Monday Night Raw. What was considered, in my opinion, by far the worst Monday Night Raw of 2014. And probably the worst Monday Night Raw I've seen in the past 2 or 3 years. And that's saying something, because we've sat through some doozies. Pro wrestling fans have been sat through some terrible doozies, ladies and gentlemen of Raw. This was the first ever time that of watching it as a fan during the show that I either wanted to sleep or I wanted to turn the channel. I mostly wanted to turn the channel. I didn't really feel like sleeping because I was too ticked off about how terrible of a show it was. I wanted to turn the channel and watch something else, and I did. I did try to find something else. There wasn't a whole lot on, but I mean, I don't know what they were thinking. It was just pure laziness on the creative part. I'd hate to be a negative, but this deserves negative. I mean, what were they honestly thinking writing this down? I mean, it's as if they got a bunch of little monkeys together and wrote down a bunch of artwork on a freaking piece of paper and decided to call it a Monday Night Raw. It was not a Monday Night Raw. The only good part of Monday Night Raw was the tag team match between Ziggler and Sheamus against Miz and Cesaro. That was a good match. I felt that was great. When Miz picked up the victory, I thought that was a good heat getter. That was great to get that heat. I love what Miz is doing right now. I love his character. And of course, Ziggler finally has a title around his waist. I mean, I don't, you know, it may just be the Intercontinental title, but it's not, at least it's not the U.S. title. For me, the Intercontinental title means more than the U.S. title. I still think they need to just combine the two and get it over and done with. But that was a good match. And then, of course, the end of the Monday Night Raw, the six-man tag, you remember who it was. I know it was Cena, Reigns, and Jericho against Bray Wyatt and others. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, I'm flustered at the fact that creative would honestly put a terrible product like that. And Stephanie and Triple. I mean, Stephanie, of course, is going to hide the fact that she, doesn't care, about having a terrible show. But Triple H, Paul Levesque, he was sitting out there, and I could tell by the look on his face that he was very disappointed. And I could tell at the end of the match, you could see Jericho, Cena, and Reigns just kind of disappointed, just kind of feeling sorry for the crowd. Now, there in Des Moines, there was a dull crowd. It was a dead crowd except for the first match. The first match was a dead crowd. And here's the thing. They had... The first half of the show was dedicated to the Bellas, and then they had about a 20-minute segment completely dedicated to the Bellas. That's nearly 2 hours of the Bella Twins, a storyline in which nobody's interested in because the two girls are trying their best. I know they've probably dreamed about this for years, ever since they were growing up, wanting to be wrestlers or whatever. But it just doesn't work. Nobody believes in it anymore. And that's a lot of the problem with everybody knowing that it's all predetermined and staged and whatnot, is nobody believes in it anymore. Nobody believes. And with Nikki's, you know, acting, supposedly, it's not that grand. I feel like it's just a lost cause. And it's a storyline that should not deserve... It should not get this much publicity. It should not be shoved down our throats so hard and so much. And the boring chants should be all in the case of it. The boring chants alone should have just been... The boring chants should have been throughout the night. I don't get why that... I think the crowd was just so dull and disappointed that they didn't even want to chant boring except during the Bella Twins segment. And for me, you know, fine. Do what you gotta do. I know you can't hit it out of the park every time, but honestly, did you guys even try to put on a decent show? Was there any point? Adam Rose versus Titus O'Neil with the bunny attacking Heath Slater? What kind of bullcrap is that? You honestly think that belongs on a Monday Night Raw, your primetime show? You need to treat every Monday Night Raw as if a brand new fan is tuning in for the first time, willing to give professional wrestling a chance. And when you give professional wrestling a chance, you're wanting to see something, a beautiful story and all that. I didn't see crap on this Monday Night Raw. If I was a first-time watcher watching this, I would never watch it again. Never. Because that is how bad it was. And that is not a good thing. There could have been, even if it was just like 10 or 20 people, there could have been 10 or 20 people tuning in to Monday Night Raw for the very first time and then never watching it again. That's 10 or 20 people that could have been hardcore fans. 10 or 20 people getting the network. 10 or 20 people getting merchandise. Buying tickets. Paying for wrestlers to have the money to pay their bills and such. To promote the company. I don't know. And it just really puts a thorn in my side. When WWE knows that they're practically the only wrestling promotion because TNA is in hot water with Spike TV and all that whatnot. And it just sickens me that they just do this because it's disturbing. And it's disgusting to treat the fans like that. There is no reason to treat the fans like that. We are dedicated and loyal fans who love pro wrestling. The older fans want to see pro wrestling get back to its peak. And the younger generation just wants pro wrestling to succeed and kind of, I guess, just stay where it's at. I don't know. For me, I just feel like that was a slap in the face to the fans, that the fans didn't deserve it. All the people watching at home didn't deserve it, and the people, especially in that arena, did not deserve it. I feel like, even if they did it after the show went off the air, I feel like when the show went off the air, they should have really... just apologized. Like, somebody should have just apologized for a terrible show. That's how bad that it was to me. That's how awful it was. And I know I've been on a tirade, but still, with the Bo Dallas segment, which was terrible, and nobody's interested in Bo Dallas versus Swagger. And, you know, Swagger was hot with the Rusev storyline, but obviously they're going with Rusev, which I feel is the right decision at this point. And Bo Dallas is just trying to get his feet wet. You know, the gimmick is a gimmick. At least they got something for him, and he gets TV time. But, yeah, so I feel like, you know, with tonight, they need to give the fans something to root for. To get people interested in Night of Champions, because with these last two bad Monday Night Raws, I mean bad Monday Night Raws, they need to start getting good again. And I'm sure they will with a supposed season premiere, and Jerry Springer will add something, maybe people will chant boring during that or something, and of course we'll still get the match. And of course, Night of Champions is coming up in 2 or 3 weeks. I feel like part of the problem was that WWE had too many weeks during the pay-per-views, between the pay-per-views. So I feel like that was a huge part of it, because they had like 5 Monday Night Raws before pay-per-view. Usually one of them has to be a throwaway when there's like 5 Monday Night Raws in between a pay-per-view. So, but now, off the terrible Raw, because, you know, we have been through some bad Monday Night Raws, but we've been through a lot of good ones. So hopefully tonight's will be a good one. At least I'm rooting for it to be a good one. And but I want to talk about something great. Something, for the first time in a long time, the WWE did right for a long-term thing. And that is The Shield. Whoa. I do love The Shield. First off, if you don't own the network, you for sure should get it. Simply because, I mean, there's so many great things on the network. But also, you gotta go, one of the first things you gotta watch is you gotta go in there and you gotta watch The Shield's journey to SummerSlam. Because you do get the full story, finally. Since we're not gonna get a biography tape yet of The Shield, we'll get to get it on the network. So they do it on the network, and what a beautiful piece that they did on the three of them. It was really a tremendous piece, and I really, 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 really enjoyed it. It was a great piece of television, or internet, whatever you want to call it. It was really a great special, and you got the backstory of Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. Dean Ambrose likes to say that he was raised by wolves. To be honest, I wouldn't really be surprised if that was the truth. But we get the backstory of the three, and you can go and watch that. But I want to talk about The Shield itself. All three guys scratched and clawed and made their way to the WWE. Three very talented individuals. Roman Reigns had a lot of work to do to catch up with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. But let's just say he has worked his butt off to get a lot better. So in my opinion, The Shield is the greatest faction in wrestling history. And today I'm going to back it up by going back to the beginning, to the debut of The Shield. The Shield debuted in 2012 Survivor Series. It was the main event, Ryback versus CM Punk versus John Cena for the WWE title. And CM Punk was about to be pinned by Ryback, who just did a shell shocked on CM Punk. So as he was going for the pin, all of a sudden The Shield attacked, gave him a triple power bomb on the table, and thus The Shield was made and The Shield was born. Three guys together, very talented individuals. Dean Ambrose, if you want to see some amazing, I mean, just beautiful promos, go and watch Dean Ambrose on YouTube, or John Moxley, as his independent name was. So just tremendous promo by Dean Ambrose, and you can tell that they were for him first, that he was the guy at first, because, you know, later on he would win the U.S. title, but we'll get into that here in a minute. Mostly in the promos and the little videos that they would do, the little scratchy videos, they would mostly put Dean on the mic. He would mostly be the one talking, and Seth would do some talking as well. Roman Reigns would say about one line, one or two lines, maybe three during the videos. 2013, was a great year, but. And after Survivor Series, after they debuted, their very first match together was a first ever six-man, not even a tag team, just a six-man TLC match at 2012 TLC pay-per-view. The three guys, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, known as The Shield, went against Daniel Bryan and Kane, the tag team champions at that point, named Team Hell No, and Ryback, who used to... during the Feed Me More thing, and Daniel Bryan's yes and no's, they were all over. The Shield was something new. It was the first time they did an arena in Brooklyn, New York. And it was a great show. One of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. From top to bottom, it was a great pay-per-view. And one of WWE's best TLC pay-per-views. The match itself, the six-man match, is just amazing. It was the first ever time these three new characters got involved, and they kept you entertained. You know, usually new guys have a hard time. If they would have come in individually, it would have been harder for them to succeed when they were than as they were together. They would have succeeded, no doubt, I feel, but I feel like they would have had a harder time, and they would have rose to the occasion. But as the Shield, it was just a beautiful thing. Seth Rollins having that huge dive where I know he nearly killed himself falling off that ladder. And Dean, of course, did unbelievably flail. It just wails away at the people. I mean, he just, like, his punches are so wide and so crazy. I'm telling you, he is this generation's Roddy Piper. I'll tell you, he really and truly is. He is definitely something special. And he is one of the most interesting people in the world. Screw that interesting man in the world commercial, because that guy's not an interesting guy. He's just an old guy with some alcohol. Dean Ambrose is a guy with an interesting mind. He is without a doubt the most interesting man in the world to me. So, moving on, after TLC 2012, where the Shield picked up the victory against Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Ryback, which was huge, very big, we go into the year of 2013, the year of the six-man tag team matches. I feel like 2013, out of my 5 years of watching, was the best wrestling year that I've been able to enjoy. Because simply, you had everybody, you know, CM Punk wasn't in his prime, but he was still going. You had the Shield running wild, Bray Wyatt coming in, Daniel Bryan getting out ultra hot. They're finally pulling the trigger with him in a certain way until 2014, where they finally pulled the trigger. And just overall great stories and great stuff. I love six-man tag team matches. You know, their six-man matches were just, you know, they had a bunch of fresh guys in, you know, so they could keep the action going. There wasn't a whole lot of resting periods. There was barely a slow moment, and usually any slow moment was when, you know, one heel would have the face in a rest hold, and then the crowd would clap along and interact to cheer the face to come back. And of course, really, 2013 was basically six-man tag team matches of The Shield versus Daniel Bryan, Kane, and one other person. You know, I mean, or just pretty much Daniel Bryan versus The Shield, whether it would be one-on-one matches or one against three or, you know, all that. It was pretty amazing. It was a great year. Very entertaining Raws. I felt like the Raws were more interesting than the pay-per-views. And it was just great. I really do. In the beginning, they were really protecting CM Punk because he was the WWE champion. You know, and Punk at that time, you know, TLC was kind of a perfect opportunity because Punk ended up getting injured, so he couldn't defend the title, which pretty much ended with Cena and Ziggler doing a ladder match for the briefcase, which was fine with me. You know, Dolph Ziggler, without a doubt, deserved to main event a pay-per-view. Finally, and of course with AJ Lee on the side, definitely I think all along they planned to have the Shield do a six-man match at TLC, which was great. One of my favorite matches of all time, and it's got to be my top five. Like I said in the beginning, and the beginning Ambrose was doing most of the talking. And then Seth started joining in more, and then Reigns he did two or three lines, and you know he's not much of a talker. He doesn't have that great mic personality. He's just a very calm, kind of cool hand Luke kind of dude. But I do enjoy his ring work. He's gotten so much better. Six-man tag team matches weren't around a whole lot, you know, before the Shield showed up. You know, it really was. It really was. You know, 2013 was the year of six-man tag team matches. The Shield would go undefeated for quite a long time, and the only problem I had was that they had them get beat on a SmackDown. It was Randy Orton, Kane, and Daniel Bryan, and Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose, of course. The Shield versus Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Randy Orton on a six-man tag match on SmackDown. But the Shield was defeated on SmackDown. And I felt like something that big should have either been on a pay-per-view or at least a Monday Night Raw. But, you know, that's a little thing, you know. I didn't have a huge problem with it. But, I felt like, it deserved it. And, of course, they had great promos. The little videos that they did were really entertaining. I felt like those were something different, something unique. Almost an NWO kind of feel. The Elimination Chamber 2013, Sheamus, Ryback, and Cena took on The Shield. Another great match by The Shield. Very entertaining. They just have a different way of entertaining you. And, of course, Ryback was about to pick up the victory until Roman Reigns did a devastating spear. And then 1, 2, and 3. Fantastic. It was really a shock because at that time, Sheamus, Cena, and Ryback are the three guys that they promoted the most. You know, it really was. I mean, those were the three most highest baby faces at that point in time. And, before then, wow, I just couldn't believe it. And that's when you knew that the WWE really believed in these guys. They really did. They really had a great feeling about them. They really did. And I feel like they deserve that trust because they are outstanding. Seth Rollins knows that he's good. Dean Ambrose knows that he's good. And Roman Reigns is getting good. He is good right now. I feel like he can get great if he works hard enough at it. I think they're pushing Roman Reigns to be the next John Cena. I'll get into that here in just a minute. And then they would go on to WrestleMania 29, where they took on Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show. And it was kind of a mixed match with Big Show and Randy Orton and Sheamus, you know, going at it, you know, themselves. But yet again, the Shield's debut at WrestleMania, they won. And they won their first ever WrestleMania, which, of course, they deserved. Absolutely deserved. Hands down. I got some notes jotted down. I'm not remembering all of this by heart. Trust me, I don't think my brain could possibly do that with all the wrestling knowledge that I pretend that I have. I do have a lot of wrestling knowledge, I feel, but, you know, everybody needs help, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody needs help to get the wrestling knowledge back on their brain and all that whatnot. You guys understand. All my true lovers out there, join the podcast here, right here on iTunes and Podomatic.com. Throughout the months, the three would get more comfortable. I at the beginning, they were just trying to get noticed and trying to get over. Once they were pretty much over after the TLC match, their first ever match, it's not very often that your first ever match you get this is awesome chance. It really isn't. When you get this is awesome chance on your first match, you know that you're up to something. You've got something golden. I feel that they got more comfortable. You know, Seth Rollins started doing his thing more high flying. And that boy can fly. I mean, he is a mix of Eddie Guerrero and Jeff Hardy with a little bitty hint of Shawn Michaels in him. And that's how I feel. Eddie and Jeff Hardy are not bad to be combined with. He has the high flying ability of Jeff Hardy and the, and when I look at him, it kind of reminds me of Jeff. I think mostly because of his hair and, of course, his high-flying ability. But his high-flying ability and his great in-ring work like Eddie used to do, it really is tremendous. He's got that little hint of Shawn in him because he's so bound and determined. And I'm not talking about new school Shawn. I'm talking about old school Shawn, the 93 or 94 or even 95 Shawn Michaels. The one who did not care what the world thought of him, and he just wanted to be the world champion and to prove everybody wrong. And that is what Seth is about, and I really appreciate that. I really get behind guys like that, because that's what you got to do to make it. And of course, Dean would get crazier and crazier. He started getting his persona out there, and Roman Reigns started to get the spotlight a little bit. They started to see what Roman Reigns could and had the potential to be. So then at Extreme Rules, after WrestleMania of 2013, Dean Ambrose won the U.S. title, defeating Kofi Kingston, his first ever title in WWE. He would go on and hold it for, and he would break the record for the longest reign in WWE history, not of all time. He's the third longest reigning of all time, but he holds the record the longest in WWE history, which is pretty amazing, and that's great. I felt like he could have just held the title forever. I mean, there was a point in time where it's like, is he ever going to defend it? Are they ever going to make him defend it? And he was just busy doing six-man tags, which I had no problem with because I love six-man tag team matches. And then Rollins and Reigns on the same night would beat Team Hell No to get the tag team titles. They would go on to hold the titles for the third longest reign in WWE history. The Rollins and Reigns would hold the titles until Cody and Goldust beat them at Battleground, which hands down was the best match of that night on that pay-per-view. But during that year, it was The Shield and Daniel Bryan. You know, all year it was The Shield dominating, destroying everybody, and Daniel Bryan getting over as the hottest babyface in the world. I really, really enjoyed the fact that they did that. I loved that. It was just a great year. A very happy year. A very progressive look at the year of 2014, which, you know, has not lived up to the hype. But that's because of circumstances out of WWE's control, you know, in certain aspects. You know, Daniel Bryan getting injured was a huge part. The Shield needed to be broke up after, you know, I feel like they could have had a babyface run for a little bit longer, maybe a couple more months. You know, maybe they could have broke up at SummerSlam or something instead of the Bellas turning, but, you know, whatever. It was a great run. And so after Rollins and Reigns lost the titles, at WrestleMania 30, I think they were going to have a triple threat match because they started getting towards the point that the Shield was going to break up. You know, they started acting as if the Shield was going to break up. And then they ended up not breaking up. They ended up just getting together stronger again, and then they got over as baby faces tremendously quick. Everybody was pretty much cheering them anyway. I don't think there was hardly anybody booing them. I know I wasn't. I was a fan of theirs for a long time, and still are. You know, I miss them to death. I miss the Shield together. I do enjoy what they're doing now. But I'll try to stay on track here. So after they lost the titles, there was no WrestleMania 30 triple threat because they changed the main event to a triple threat. They don't like to have two triple threats on the same card. Ambrose would hold his title until the Raw Battle Royal, where Sheamus would pick it up, which, whatever, I guess. And, you know, and then the Shield would fight the Evolution. Shield would fight Evolution, and they would beat him twice in two very good matches. I felt that their match at Extreme Rules 2014 with Evolution was much better than the one at Payback. I felt like the Payback one went on too long, like they just where Evolution just dominated for too long, and they made the Shield look like crap, almost. And then, of course, the Shield ended up winning, which was great. It was still a very good match. Seth Rollins ended up turning on the Shield, and what a heart-wrenching episode that was, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness, just such a heart-wrenching episode. You always hate to see the Shield, you know, lose or break up, you know, something that was that great, that was that wonderful, that creative, and the WWE did right. Like, there was hardly anything they did wrong with the Shield. And, you know, and I did want to mention, of course, the Elimination Chamber 2014, the match with the Wyatts. I can't believe I forgot to mention that. All three battles were great, but, I mean, there was nothing that compared to the Elimination Chamber one. Going back, I wish the Shield would have won. But, in that time period, I understand why Bray Wyatt won. I completely understand. So, You know, that was the deal. But it was still one of the best matches I've ever seen. Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family versus the Shield. Tremendous match. The people were chanting, "This is awesome," before the match even came underway. So, just so many great matches, you know. I mean, just great match after great match after great match of the Shield. And there was, I mean, I've never heard so many "This is awesome" chants, except when the Shield and Daniel Bryan would fight. Rollins as a heel is doing a great job. I do want to see him get beat. I love that he has the Money in the Bank. I am hoping for a possibility of him cashing in at WrestleMania. It is a huge possibility. He may cash in on Night of Champions. He may cash in tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You never know what in the world's going to happen, but I doubt he's going to cash in tonight because Lesnar's not going to show up, I'm sure. But I feel like Seth Rollins should not cash in until WrestleMania because he's the guy that they can trust to go on to be a big star. Obviously, Triple has a keen eye on him. And, of course, the company believes in him. Seth Rollins believes in himself. And I really feel as if that's the right thing to do. Seth Rollins is a future champion, future multiple-time champion. And Dean Ambrose is a future champion. And, of course, Roman Reigns, they're promoting to be the next John Cena, which I'll go ahead and get into. I felt like the end of the Shield was okay. I thought it was pretty good how they ended up. It was kind of a shock value. Dean Ambrose, mouthing what we all know what he was mouthing, and turning around and getting the chair shot from Seth. I feel like the Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins rivalry is one of the most interesting and one of the best rivalry of the year so far. I mean, nothing is more interesting than the two of them fighting. Their match at SummerSlam was the most interesting and the most entertaining lumberjack match I've ever seen in my whole life. So, without a doubt, great. The future of the three, I see Seth Rollins winning multiple titles. I see him going on. You know, he lives his life for the company. He's going to take it easy on his body, you know. He's doing the CrossFit, which keeps him in tremendous shape. A lot of people can't do the CrossFit, and I haven't ever tried it out because it's pretty insane. But yes, he's a tremendous athlete, just a tremendous work, a tremendous talent. And all three of them are just a tremendous talent that they ended up finding, and I love that. Dean Ambrose is going to entertain us with his promos forever. I feel like he doesn't even have to wrestle. He can just sit there and do promos all day and get over with the people without even having to wrestle. But I do enjoy seeing him wrestle. He's a great wrestler as well. And Roman Reigns, I feel, is the next John Cena. I feel that Roman Reigns is potentially, finally, the guy that could take the place of John Cena. He could be the guy that could replace John Cena as the main guy, doing all the radios, the interviews, and everything like that. It's a possibility if Roman Reigns keeps his head in the right place, and if WWE does right by him. So they're definitely giving him that spot. They're giving him that chance. So hopefully he takes it, and I hope he does. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is The Shield. Squeezing in a couple movie reviews. I watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes with James Franco, a great movie. A lot of people say Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was better. I feel like they were both good for what they were. I watched one of my favorite movies, Eagle Eye, with Shia LaBeouf and Michelle Monaghan. Michelle is a very underrated actress, very, very underrated. I really enjoy her work. She just deserves like 20 awards to me. She really is just a fantastic actress. Just absolutely a tremendous, tremendous actress. And Shia LaBeouf, of course, is the next Tom Hanks. If he can just get his act together, I really hope and pray that he does, because he is a tremendous talent. That should not be wasted. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will be the podcast for today. I got to go and eat lunch, and then I will catch you guys down the road. Going to be watching Monday Night Raw tonight, hoping very strongly that this Monday Night Raw will be 1,000 times better than the last two bad Raws. We can all hope. Jericho and Wyatt in the cage, and Roman Reigns and Randy Orton in a SummerSlam rematch with Jerry Springer and the Bella Twins doing that whole crazy deal. Maybe there will be something entertaining during that. We can only hope, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, I will see you on this side or the other. But really, who even cares anymore? Thanks for joining.